there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
One, it's good to see you all. Thank you for joining us here at Trinity. This is a place where we worship God, and it's a safe place where you can come and worship God freely as the Spirit leads, and it is a place where you can be yourself before God and before others. And this morning, we will talk about what it means to be part of a faith community. And the importance of that influence in our lives. But we get to not only talk about it and hear what the Word of God says about it, but we experience it. And so this morning, we're going to worship the Lord in different ways. In a moment, I'm going to lead us in a time of corporate prayer, give you an opportunity to pray silently or perhaps with somebody near you. We're going to worship the Lord through music. We love to do that here at Trinity. And we're going to worship God through hearing of His Word. And we also worship God through our time together in fellowship. We know a lot of you come a bit early to take advantage of that and gather in our study down the hall or grab an extra cup of coffee. And that's a wonderful part of being in a faith community like Trinity. And so I would just ask that you would just take a moment to just kind of breathe physically and spiritually and let the Lord fill your lungs, prepared for prayer and worship, and to prepare your hearts and minds. We are invited by God Himself in His Word to come with boldness and confidence before the very throne of grace, the throne of Jesus Christ, the God's very throne. And we can do that because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Amen. For the next few minutes, I would just like us to give some time and attention to praying for those specifically who need physical healing and strength. Every Sunday, we like to set aside just a time at the beginning of our gathering to focus on prayer, a time of corporate prayer over a specific thing. It's called intercessory prayer, when you pray on behalf of someone else. And this morning, just in three brief parts, I'd like to just lead us in praying for those specifically in our midst, those who couldn't be here today, those whom we know and love, who need desperately prayer for physical healing and strength and comfort as God does heal them. Our scriptures for this part of our prayer are from Matthew 11 and Psalm 30. And Jesus bids us to come to Him, all who are weary and burdened. He says, I will give you rest. We know we all need rest, don't we? Especially as we struggle. Psalm 30, verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. God is good about keeping His promises. Let us take a moment to pray. You can consider these two passages. Just pray for a minute or two for those who need healing and strength. If you know somebody that you're sitting near or somebody that's very close to you, you can pray over them. You don't have to pray silently. Or if you need prayer for healing, you can invite someone near you to come and pray over you. So just take a moment or two and focus your prayers, whether it's individually, silently, or with someone or a group, for those that need healing in considering these passages. So let's look briefly to the Lord in prayer. As we continue to pray, And you can continue to pray if you're praying over somebody. Let's focus our prayers on those who care for the ones who are sick and who are ailing, for caregivers and family members, caring for those and helping those who have physical needs. Psalm 147 says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds their wounds. Sometimes he uses us to do that. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. It's our shield, our horn of salvation, our stronghold. God uses others to often do these things for us. So let's pray for those who care for our loved ones who are in need. As we continue to pray, let us just pray for those who need physical healing, that they would have deeper trust and continued faith during times of uncertainty. For we know that physical illness especially can bring a crisis of faith, can bring difficulty in trusting a God who always keeps his promises, but when we struggle, it can be hard to see. So let's finally pray that they would have a deeper trust in the Lord Jesus during this time of affliction, that their faith would grow even stronger. We are reminded from Romans 8, Paul says, I'm sure that neither life nor death, nor angels or rulers, nor anything present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That can certainly renew our faith. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Psalm 121 tells us, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us take just a moment to pray for those among us who are sick and need healing, that their trust and faith in the Lord would grow even deeper during their time of need. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up those who are battling disease and pain and discouragement. We bring them before your matchless throne of grace in their time of need. We ask for your presence to be so evident in their lives. Calm their hearts and fears and allow them to experience your great love and perfect peace in a new and a fresh way. Father God, you alone are the one who heals hearts and bodies and minds and spirits. Thank you that you often use us to help others in doing so. But God, today we ask that you lay your wonderful and compassionate hand of healing on our loved ones. We ask for healing of illness and physical weakness and even broken hearts and wearied spirits. May your loving kindness heal every wound. And we pray, as always, in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, would you stand with me now? We have prayed and we have asked the Lord's help in bringing comfort and compassion. But our God, who listens to prayers, who hears every prayers, who keeps these promises that we've read about, he is worthy of our praise, is he not? So let us worship him now. God calls us to worship in spirit and in truth, because he is spirit and we worship in truth. So let us sing and join our voices as one. And it's even good sometimes to just stand and listen to those around you worshiping, to hear the music, let it move our souls. But let us give our worship and praise to the one who is worthy. We do that now together in our faith community. Amen. We praise
the Lord. He who was before there was light, walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold. Dined with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt. Buried death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus.
Holding
Do we believe that, church?
Yes.
Believe that. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that you win every battle.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God, and that is you. You deserve all that praise. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we proclaim these truths. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Say good morning and encourage somebody next to you.
Strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations of every nation,
of kingdom come. So though when your heart be troubled, hold your head up, I don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth, God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong, remember where I help comes from.
All right, praise the Lord. We can find our way back to our seats. We are grateful for good worship and prayer. Hallelujah. That we can praise God together, lift up holy hands, and shout the good news. Victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's awesome to experience a powerful time of worship together. Again, that's part of our theme for this morning is the importance and the power of being in a faith community and what that means for us. And we're going to see that in kind of played out in the life of the disciples today. But again, we get to experience it through a time of corporate prayer and of worship together. Hallelujah. Just a few words of what we call church life. It just kind of get caught up on what's going on in the life of the church. Remember that we value many things here at Trinity, but we value learning and growing and serving and getting to do that together. That's how we pursue discipleship, which a disciple is a learner, a follower of Jesus. And from the scriptures, we learn that we are to be learning the truth. We're going to do that together today. We get to grow then from that. We trust that we're going to grow from the truth of God's word, grow in our faith, and our trust in Him. And then we serve each other, we serve our communities and the world around us. And in just a moment, you'll get to hear a testimony of what it looks like to serve those locally who are in need. We have missions outreach coming up. We had one last week, which you'll hear about in a moment. We have one coming up next Sunday, the 29th. That's at Atlantic Coast, a nursing home in Lakewood. We've been there a couple of times. We're going back, and so that is next Sunday. I believe that's from 2 to 3 next Sunday afternoon. And so if you can make that, just let us know next Sunday that you're coming, but we all just meet there. It's at Atlantic Coast Nursing Home from 2 to 3, and we get to just listen and hear people's stories and get to encourage them and laugh with them and tell them about our faith in Jesus. And so we love that opportunity. So next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And it begins what many of us might call the beginning of Holy Week. And so next Sunday we will, and then the Sunday after that, which of course is Easter, we'll just take a brief break from Matthew, and we will look at the importance of Palm Sunday, of course, in the scriptures and what it means to us as believers in the Lord Jesus and followers of His, and the importance, even the prophetic importance of Palm Sunday and Jesus riding into Jerusalem for the last week of His earthly ministry and life. And so that is next Sunday. And then, of course, the following Friday is Good Friday. We gather here to reflect and remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on the cross for us on that Friday. And then, of course, we regather on that Sunday, April 5th, Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate new life in Him. And it is, as we've said often and recently, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. So a wonderful time to gather together to celebrate. We'll have an extra time of worship through song, a great opportunity to invite some friends and family that you've been sharing Jesus with and to come out on Easter. Sometimes people are more willing to come out on those recognized holidays, and they get to just see people worshiping the Lord and celebrating new life in Him. So that is Sunday, of course, April 5th. And that service will include our kids' ministry. Our kids will be helping us to worship God that Sunday on Easter and be helping to celebrate with their special presentation they've been preparing for and bringing us the Word of God and some extra worship. So we look forward to that. And just a reminder, because of that, since Easter falls on the first Sunday of the month, then we will have our communion worship service and our fellowship lunch the following Sunday, which is April 12th. Normally, that's the first Sunday of every month, but for April, it will be the following one. So on April 12th, we will have our first barbecue lunch of the season, and we praise God for that. And of course, we end our worship service around the Lord's table in communion, continuing to remember His sacrifice for us. So that is on April 12th, just so you mark your calendars. And much more to know about Trinity, about what we believe and why we believe it and how we learn and grow and serve together. Okay, so check out our website, trinityallenwood.com, for all the information. And if you ever have any questions about the church, you can always just drop us a line. You can give us a call or an email or text and let us know you're interested to learn more. We'd love to spend some time getting to know you. And so before we move into God's Word, I wanted to invite up Dennis. Where is Dennis? Dennis is good. Come on up, Dennis. Dennis had the great privilege of going on the outreach this past Thursday to Tom's River, and we asked him to share a few words about his experience. So I'm going to give Dennis the opportunity to do that. Come on up, brother.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. I'm going to keep this to my experience that day, what God did in that circumstance. I came into this church 9 months ago, and one of the first things I see on the screen is outreach, you know, and I wrote it down right away. And I've been waiting and praying for 9 months for, you know, the calendar to open up in my life to for that opportunity to come. And when I saw that it came, you know, I told Andrew that I would be able to make it. And you just start thinking about it all the time. You start thinking about things, you know what I mean? And so the first time going to anything, I usually like to stand back and just see what goes on. You know, I was able to talk to people, watch them be fed, and Tina took me around, and I met the people there, and it was a very nice thing that they're doing. They were able to take a shower and get a haircut. You know, there was clothes to be handed out. And you could see people smile, and you know, we talked to them about having a hope. And towards the end of the 2 hours, there was a nice man, older man, sitting there, and he's by himself, and the opportunity comes to be able to sit and to talk to him. And by talking to him, I just went there to sit and to listen to what he had to say. I don't know how many people actually listen, you know. And he was going through a lot of things. He was a believer, and he wasn't really understanding why he was going through the things he was going through. He was living with someone, and he was actually taking care of that person, and that person passed, and they put him on the streets. He's on the housing list, but it wasn't coming as fast as he would like. He was able to stay in the library. He was by himself, and he was wondering why God, what happened with God, you know? And, you know, God gives you scripture, you know, in our lives. You know, when I remember him comforting me in my afflictions that were great in my life, he calls us to come alongside those and be a comfort to them. You know, so God always told me, like, I can't minister to anyone or help them without listening, you know. So I listened to what the man had to say. And then he tells me of his faith. And then I was able to, you know, remind him of scripture, or maybe offer scripture that he hadn't heard. Remind him that God does love him, and he is making a way. And he needed not to dwell on making a Jericho or putting up walls, you know, that God was moving on his behalf. And God, you know, never sees the righteous go without bread. And he was being fed, and encouraged him to get on his feet every day and just to go out and to keep going out, to keep moving and to not give up, you know. And it was just a nice thing to be able to hold his hands and pray with him and cry with him. And I would encourage you, if it's something you have not done, put it on your calendar, take a day off, whatever you got to do. But just try it one time. Touch someone else's life the way God touched yours. God obviously touched yours because you're here. You know what I mean? So I would encourage you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Powerful reminder, right? Just the importance of just listening. You know, I just made in my announcements in church life that next Sunday is, it is Palm Sunday. And I think the Easter season, or the Passover season, we might call it, is kind of crept up on us, right? Kind of feel like that sometimes, especially during the changing of seasons, and we often mark that not just with the weather, but of holidays and important things in our lives that come around every year, and sometimes it can creep up on us, you know. And I was reminded of the Passover story from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, and how the escape and the leaving of the Hebrews as slaves from Egypt, boy, that crept up on them. That came very quickly. And God had called them out of Egypt, finally, but it wasn't this slow transition or an organized move. You know, last Thursday, my wife Claudia and I helped our son and his fiance. Helped her move into their new apartment in Manhattan, where they live and work, and to get her settled so that after the wedding, he can move in, and they've found their new place, and it was very exciting. But there was a lot of navigating that had to happen, and a lot of organizing, you know, when you move places, right? But moving from apartment to apartment in New York City, that's a whole different story. And a big part of that is parking. And we had this amazing experience. We've been there many, many times. Our kids have lived there a long time. But we had to park the van in our cars. But, you know, it was this alternate side of the street parking deal where the street sweeper comes up. And so everybody, I've never seen this before, but everybody, there's about 15 cars on the side of the road. And it says you can't park there from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we were there on a Thursday, and so everybody was in their car who lives there and has their car parked there waiting. And the police officer is walking up and down the block, making sure that the cars are attended, that somebody's in there. And then all of a sudden in your mirror, you see the street sweeper coming, and one by one, a car pulls out. Of course, we don't go around the block because you'll lose your spot. So everybody just pulls over and leaves just enough room for the street sweeper. And as soon as it comes through, you can see people trying to back in. But it only took one person. It wasn't me. It only takes one person to not know the routine and had a parallel park. And everybody was jockeying for position and honking the horn, and it was an experience. And this was before we even had our coffee or breakfast or even started moving. So what an experience. But there was a lot of planning that had to go into that, you know. And I think we all know what that's like when we're moving. But the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, there was like no time for planning. And they had to leave quickly. And it was like hurried, like the middle of the night type of escape. And they had been slaves in Egypt for generations. And finally they were leaving. But God, in the midst of that, gives them a very specific instruction. And it seems very practical. And it is. But of course, it continues to take on a deeper meaning as we see the scriptures unfold. And he says, don't put any leaven in the bread, because there was no time to wait for it to rise, because we know that's what leaven does, and it only takes a little bit of yeast, or leaven, as it's called in the scriptures, only a little tiny bit, right, to get a whole loaf of bread or a whole batch of dough to rise. In Exodus 12, it says it this way: they baked the dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, into cakes of unleavened bread. For it had not become leavened, since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay. Nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. They had to leave so quickly. It says earlier in Exodus 12:15, 7 days, this is God's command for them, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. It means cut off from fellowship, from brothers and sisters. So it might seem a little odd that God gives this command, but of course he didn't have time to wait for the dough to rise. But he tells them to make bread without yeast, no delay. But of course, that instruction becomes central to what we know as Passover, which is a yearly reminder that they left quickly, but also that they had to leave something behind. I think it's part of that story we often forget. We see where they were going, and God was beginning to bring them into eventually the promised land and to save them from being slaves. But they were also in the midst of that, leaving something behind. Not just Egypt, but the old life that was tied to it. In many ways, the leaven represented that. So by the time of Jesus, and we're going through the book of Matthew, Passover wasn't just something in the history. It was a big part of their identity as the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Those who are observant, faithful Jewish people, they carefully observed what God had called them to do, and they removed all the leaven from their homes this time every year, searching by lamplight for even the smallest crumb. And families would gather for that meal, the Seder meal, many of us are familiar with it. They would retell the story, eating unleavened bread. You know what the word is for unleavened bread? Hebrew, we use it all the time. Matzah. That's what matzah means, unleavened bread. And they were remembering God's deliverance, of course, but that leaven had come to symbolize more than just the physical yeast in the dough for the bread. It represented sin, corruption, impurity, or even anything that puffed them up, led to pride, or distorted what was true. It represented influence. So now we come to the context of Matthew 16, where we are today. Jesus and his disciples are beginning to sort of move toward Jerusalem in this final season of his ministry. We get there shortly after. Of course, that week that leads to his crucifixion is what we call Good Friday. And of course, ends on Resurrection Sunday on that third day. But in our passage today, Jesus gives a very simple command to his followers. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That pretty much sums up what he is saying in our passage today. But see, he's not talking about bread, because leaven had a deeper meaning. It represented influence, something that can be so small, like leaven, like yeast, that spreads quietly and quickly, but it changes everything. Just as leaven works through the dough, Jesus is saying the false teachings of the religious leaders works that way in hearts and minds, and he's telling his followers to beware. So consider that timing. During the final Passover week, as the city of Jerusalem was filling with pilgrims remembering that deliverance from Egypt, Jesus will take that unleavened bread and give it an even fuller meaning, pointing to his own body given for them. And at that very moment, Israel is to remember being freed from slavery. He prepares an even more important deliverance that we remember. So, we're entering the Passover season. Our Jewish friends who are observant are preparing for the Passover, and cleaning out their homes thoroughly, setting dishes aside to be used separately, and getting rid of anything that has leaven in it. At the Seder table, they have the elements, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, the cups of wine. It all tells parts of that familiar story. The children get to ask questions, but they're answered over and over. We were slaves, but the Lord saved us. And I think, church, as I'm about to read our passage, just consider the reminder that often what we remove from our lives is just as important as what we remember and hold on to. So as we approach Palm Sunday, next Sunday, and Passover season, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, remember these are all surrounding Jesus' journey to the cross. We should ask ourselves, what have we allowed to influence our lives? What have we allowed to quietly take root that's maybe been spreading beneath the surface that is now affecting all of us? And Jesus warns the disciples very simply this. He says, pay attention. So church, here's the reading of the word. Let us pay attention to what God has to say. So Matthew 16, 5 to 12. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Verse 9, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets full you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak of you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Sometimes, aren't we like that? We just need Jesus to really spell it out for us. And here they are, the disciples. They had seen and witnessed twice Jesus feeding the multitudes, 2 different occasions. First, the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish, and then on a separate occasion, not too long after, the feeding of 4,000. And again, those were just counting the men. That's the way they did it back then. So it's probably like 20 to 25,000 each time. And Jesus did it with just a little bit. And he says again, you men of little faith, don't you remember? He says, I'm not talking about bread. It's like they were worried they forgot bread, like they were going to disappoint Jesus. Like he would say, oh no, what are we going to eat? Of course he could feed them. He was talking about, because he said, the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because you see, in Scripture, leaven represents something negative, represents sin. It represents here false teaching. It represents a strong negative influence that he is trying to make the disciples be aware of. But isn't it interesting? Because they were worried about the physical, and Jesus is always focused on the spiritual. He heals physical bodies. He casts out demons, and he raises from the dead, and he heals sickness and disease. He makes the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. But he's always more focused on the spiritual. So Jesus knows they were worried about not bringing loaves of bread, and he simply says, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, expecting them to understand, and they didn't. So that's this word is for us today, church. Just a few brief things for us to glean from this passage. In verses 5 and 6, right, he says, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what would that leaven be? What would it be that the Pharisees and Sadducees represent that would be like yeast or leaven, that can just kind of quietly begin to invade and take hold of and taint the whole person or the whole batch? It would be their teaching, their false teaching, which he has been talking about so often. We've seen him again and again, right, interacting with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders. They were leading God's people astray with their false teaching, the way they were misinterpreting the Old Testament, the Word of God they knew. And he's saying, beware of the leaven. Why? Because leaven works invisibly at first, right? When you add the leaven or the yeast, it's only a little bit to a batch of dough for bread. It doesn't rise immediately. It takes time. But see, that little bit is there. And once you mix it in, can you then remove the yeast? You can't remove. I'd like to see you try. You can't do it. But that's the whole point of it, right? It only takes a little bit. But it's in there, and it doesn't look like anything's happening. But over time, it slowly starts to infiltrate. And it's doing what it's designed to do. But Jesus is saying the false teachings are like leaven. It affects the whole batch, even though it starts to work invisibly at first. It rarely seems wrong at first or so obvious, but it usually slips in very subtly and most often is mixed with truth. See, that's part of the strategy of our enemy. He'll take a truth and mix it with a little bit of a lie. It'll seem like it's still truth, but the lie is in there. It's insidious that way. The Pharisees had been adding human works and traditions of the rabbis to God's very word. The Sadducees were even the group that denied the doctrine of the resurrection. They had different errors, these groups, but they had the same effect, corruption. How about for us today? What about teachings that we might hear? I mean, we're together for an hour or two a week, but during the week, listening to different teachers and podcasts and videos and reading books and so much that can be so beneficial, but are we being discerning to make sure we're not being led astray? It's so much more difficult these days with the dearth of content and the availability. If we hear teachings that salvation must be earned or kept or even proved by works, are we discerning that to be leaven? Do we hear teachings that blur justification and sanctification or redefine believing faith as commitment or surrender or obedience, those things that apply to us as Christians as part of our path of discipleship? Is the gospel being tainted even teachings that we're familiar with, like a prosperity gospel that shifts the focus from Jesus Christ himself to ourself. See, church, the point is even small shifts in doctrine can undermine our assurance of salvation and distort the very gospel of grace. We have to be careful. So we need to examine what we're hearing carefully. In church, I've said this before, and please hear me. You need to examine what you hear on Sunday mornings. I mean, yes, we build trust for each other. And as the lead shepherd and one of the two elders here, we are responsible to oversee the teaching and to, what do shepherds do, right, in the Bible? They feed the sheep, they protect the sheep. And so we are to protect from false doctrine and false teaching, but at the same time, we are to be feeding, and that means bringing the Word of God. So as I preach through books of the Bible and bring the Word of God, I trust and hope that it is helpful and that it not only encourages but challenges, but church, examine it on your own. Go back to the Scriptures, and if you hear something that doesn't seem right, then come and talk to me. Or if you hear something during the week and you're listening to a teacher and it's, I'm not sure that I would have heard that at Trinity, or it's not what I believe or what I've been taught, go to the Scriptures. Seek wise counsel, but go to the Scriptures. Because at the end, yes, as leaders, we're held accountable to God. But in the end, we're all held accountable to God for what we do with His Word. So don't ever assume something is true just because it sounds spiritual or because it's so popular. Always measure it against Scripture. And in doing so, we should guard our understanding of the clear and pure gospel. Eternal life is a free gift. It is received by faith alone. It's not earned or maintained or even proven. Who are we going to prove our salvation to? Other people? We have to prove it to God? No. But see, church, also, in the rest of this passage, I won't read it all again, but Jesus just reminds them, where's your faith, guys? Where's your faith? Didn't you just see me feed the multitudes? And in verse 11, how is it that you don't understand? I didn't speak about bread, but beware of the leaven. He says it again. Beware of the leaven. He's like trying for them to get it. And in verse 12, it says, then they understood. He didn't say to beware of the leaven of the actual bread, but the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. See, the disciples missed the point because they were still lacking spiritual discernment. They were growing, but they didn't quite see it. False teaching, church. False teachings can take root like leaven and infiltrate and take hold in our hearts and minds, even in a church where spiritual discernment is weak. That's why I say test everything against the Scriptures. That's how we become discerning. When those spiritual red flags come up and say, I'm not sure that that's what Scripture says. I don't know why it doesn't sound right, but it doesn't sit right in my spirit. Let me go to the Scriptures and test it. He wasn't rebuking their intelligence. He was rebuking their lack of discernment. When we are not, as believers, thinking biblically, with a biblical worldview, even about what's going on in our world, at any point in time, if we're not looking at it all through the lens of Scripture, we become vulnerable. We become like sheep without our good shepherd. Jesus often overlooked the crowds, and he felt compassion on them, the Scripture says, because he looked at them as sheep without a shepherd. We don't ever want to be vulnerable like that to those wolves in sheep's clothing. Spiritual dullness can create that space for doctrinal error to take root. So if we prioritize our emotional experiences too much over doctrinal truth, we become vulnerable. If our church minimizes the importance of proper theology and interpretation and application of Scripture, if it's too much about entertainment or trying to be relevant, we can open the door for the leaven of false teachings. It's interesting, you know, that so often church leaders feel this necessity to make the Word of God relevant. The Word of God is always relevant. It's not my job or any of our jobs to make it relevant. It's always relevant. Maybe we need to let social media shape our beliefs a little less and let Scripture shape them a little more. Notice I don't say you, I say we. I'm always a part of that. But church, when our discernment is weak or weakening, false teaching, sometimes it doesn't even have to hide and come in the shape of a wolf in sheep's clothing. So we need to continue to grow in our understanding of the Word of God, spending consistent time with Him, you know, focusing on those key doctrines and beliefs of salvation and grace and the identity of Jesus. We can never get enough of the foundations. Because if we neglect the foundation, what happens? It will crack and rot, and then everything else begins to crumble. And then finally, I think this passage also speaks to the importance of being in a community of believers. The disciples had each other and they had Jesus. And he gives the warning to the whole group. Guard against the false teaching because you're not in this alone. You're not supposed to be going at it, you know, with a solo effort. I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody around me. Jesus has designed the church. He even says, I will build my church. That's what Jesus says. But it's designed for mutual edification and accountability and protection. See, church, we have leaders that help us to protect, but we protect each other. Amen. When we do that, we encourage each other. We challenge each other. That's important. Leaven can spread the quickest when believers are isolated. We don't ever want to disengage from a local church and body of believers. Church, I've said this before, but you know, we live stream our services, and it's a great tool. If you're traveling, if you're ill, you can't make it to church and be here physically, it's a great tool to be able to go back at any time and review the service and the teaching and worship right along and pray with us, but that's not church. That cannot replace being together in a physical space. You know why? First of all, you can't get a hug. You can't hear Andrew laughing. You can't have him greet you at the door. Well, if you watch the video or live stream, you can hear him laughing. You don't get the same joy. But you know, not only you can't get the hug and the handshake and the personal interaction that we know we need, but you also can't serve. You can't use your spiritual God-given gift to bless others when you're just watching online. So again, it's a powerful and wonderful tool that we should take advantage of, but it doesn't replace being in a faith community, being a part of it. Because then we can't even hold each other accountable, which is important if we see others that are possibly being led astray. It's often been called an echo chamber. We don't want to create an echo chamber where false ideas go unchallenged, where they just sort of bounce off each other and all of a sudden it's accepted as truth. So we need to stay meaningfully connected to a sound local church. I know of one. It's called Trinity Bible Church. And we can't just attend either. I'll end with this. You can't just attend, but you have to engage regularly in relationships. And, you know, Dennis reminded us of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul says that God blesses us and heals us, but then he will bless us so that we can bless and help others with that same blessing. I think we've all seen that. You go through something particular in your life, and then God brings others into your life that are struggling, and you can speak to their trial and help them. You need to be able to do that for each other. And you know, this is a hard thing to do, but I think part of discipleship is to invite others into our lives, like invite accountability. It can be difficult. It takes trust and relationship, but you know what? Those are the hard things to do. I mean, we have our own problems with our own dysfunctional families. Why on earth would we want to voluntarily get involved with another big dysfunctional family? Well, someone once told me, yeah, but see, at Trinity, we put the fun in dysfunctional. So, okay, so that's what we do. We can enjoy being together, right? Amen. We can do that, yes. But we just can't be isolated. We're in this together, church. So Jesus warns us very clearly, beware of the leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. There's a lot in our world that is likened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we wrap up by saying, so what? So what does this all mean for us? We're reminded that false teaching, right, spreads quietly, corrupts deeply. It can thrive where there's spiritual weakness, and it's resisted best when you're part of a strong, truth-centered community, because the truth is the greatest antidote, right? And we don't ever want to cloud the clarity of the gospel. Eternal life is a free gift received by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. So we are to stay alert, stay grounded in the scripture, and stay connected to others, because even a little bit of leaven, if it goes unchecked, can affect everything. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we are grateful for your teachings in your word. And God, we don't want to skip over any of it because we know it's all important. And so, Lord, thank you for this simple but profound reminder that we are to beware of the leaven, that we are to be careful of toxic truths, truths that are mixed with lies. Help us, Lord, to be discerning, to grow in that discernment. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. May God, thank you for your word, our true authority, and for the Holy Spirit within each believer, that you help us by illuminating that truth and reminding us of that truth when we need it most. God, thank you. May we stay close to you through your word, our time of prayer and worship, and in fellowship. God, may we help each other, lift each other up. And Lord God, that at the end you would get all the glory and honor. Father, we began our time by just singing songs, powerful songs, reminding us that no one is greater or more powerful than you, that you fight and win all of our battles, and that we can stand strong because we don't stand alone, that you stand in the fire with us. God, we know you allow those fires to come around us, but yet you're always with us. Thank you, God, that you surround us, that you send your angels, and that you send brothers and sisters in the Lord. God, thank you. May we take your teaching to heart and be better for it and give you all the more glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, thank you for joining us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.